Well, I love God's word, and I love that we get to just spend a few minutes thinking about what God has to say. And in our church family, we've been exploring chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah, and we've been kind of going a bit deeper and spending quite a few weeks in it. So one of the things we've been thinking about is the journey of how God changes us, God transforms us, particularly as we move through challenging things, some of the challenges of life. What are some of the ways that God brings transformation into our lives? Now, Isaiah, who wrote these words, was a prophet, and he began prophesying about 740 years before Jesus was born. So that's a really, really long time before Jesus was born. But in this particular section of what he wrote, he was writing for God's people, the Jewish people, who had been exiled in Babylon. That means they'd been taken captive and taken to another land that wasn't their land. How would you like that? That would be pretty terrible, wouldn't it? To have somebody come, uproot you from where you belonged. Maybe a little bit like the people who are struggling in Ukraine at the moment. Just that whole trauma, national trauma. And that's what the people of Israel had been going through. They'd been taken to another land. So now they had no homeland, they had no community, they had no temple where they could go to worship God. They'd been taken captives. There was this sense of disaster. They were slaves. There was that sense of hopelessness and failure that they had to deal with. And so this is what God is speaking to his people through the prophet Isaiah. And we're just going to read it again with that in mind. Imagine hearing this when you are far from your own country. Is anyone thirsty? Of course we're thirsty. We hate being here. It's horrible. We're really feeling needy. Like, come and drink, even if you have no money. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. That's a weird thing to say to people who are living in another country, feeling like they're having a terrible life. Why spend money on food that doesn't give you strength or pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and eat. You'll eat what's good. You'll enjoy the finest food. Come with me with your ears wide open. Listen and you'll find life. Wow, they might have pricked their ears up at that, mightn't they? The thought of life. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. I'll give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also, us. You also, Isaiah's saying, or God's saying through Isaiah, you'll command nations you don't know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, I've made you glorious. This is an incredible invitation, an incredible declaration God is giving to Israel. First of all, he reminds them that their only qualification to come is to be thirsty. You don't have to have anything. Whoa, that's good, because they didn't have anything. And then he urges them to listen to what he is saying. You know, when we're in a crisis or when there's difficulties, it's really easy to listen to the voices around us, isn't it? Maybe those voices are hopelessness or despair, or shame, oh, what have we done wrong to be in this situation? Or offence, or gloom, or injustice. It's not fair. This is horrible. God's inviting them to listen to his voice. And as they choose to listen to him, there's some really, really important things that God's reminding them about. He's reminding them who their God is. He's reminding them who they are. And I love so many of the themes that have come out this morning. You know, I am who you say I am. We've just sung it. He's reminding them who he is, who they are. And he's reminding them that they've got a glorious calling. that their life doesn't end in exile. And it's not just that God's people are invited to go on this journey of transformation for their own sake. They're also invited to go on this journey of transformation so that the nations around them can see God and can come to know God for themselves. He says, nations will come running to them and obeying them. Can you imagine how absurd that would feel if you were taken captive in another country and God is saying to you that other nations are going to come running to you and you know, obey you? That just must have seemed ridiculous, so unlikely given their circumstances. But that's exactly why God sends his word to us in difficult circumstances, because he wants us to change the way we see challenges, change the way we see loss, change the way we see disappointments, difficulties. He actually wants to speak into those places so we shift how we see them. And he's inviting the people of Israel to shift the way they see circumstances and to shift themselves to actually believe they have a destiny beyond just the immediate things that they can see around them. Well, we are not Israel. We're 2,500 years later. But God is a long God. And so many of the things that he says to God's people back then, he also says to any of us who are his people now. And many of the ways that he changed people's thinking then, he also uses to help us think differently. So I want to just think about what might be a fresh voice this morning of truth and hope. He spoke to people who were weary, who were in distress and despair and discouragement. But his purpose was to shift them and to journey with them. And so much of that is relevant for you and I today. Anybody had any challenging circumstances to deal with lately? Or am I the only one? Okay, some of you have had. That's good. Well, I want to suggest that so much is relevant for us as well. Firstly, the invitation. The invitation to come thirsty. It's not just those people back there, 2,500 years, who are invited to come with nothing in their hand. Have a listen to the invitation that Jesus gave to people. He stood up and he said, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink." It's so inclusive. Nobody misses out. Anyone who's thirsty, anyone who doesn't have it all together, anyone who hasn't, got their stuff together, that's who qualifies. That's such good news. No wonder we call it the gospel. It is such good news that you don't have to have everything together in order to come and have your life changed. In fact, the only way you qualify is to have nothing in your hand. There's a beautiful hymn that says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling." If we think we've got it together, guess what? We're disqualified. We won't come. We won't genuinely come to Jesus if we think we're pretty right. It's actually this incredible invitation to own. I don't have it together. I need you, God. I need you, Jesus. It's that humble recognition that we can't do this life by ourselves. It's this heart attitude. And if you've never come to Jesus, if you've never realized, I actually do need someone to forgive me, I do need someone to take my life in hand and bring me true life, then even today you can be one of those people who actually says, "Jesus, I need you, I want to come to you." That invitation is for every person here to come and to keep coming to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus empty-handed if you've never been to him, and if you've been a follower of Jesus for a really long time, we still need to come without qualifications, without somehow thinking that God owes us something. It's hard to do that, isn't it? Well, God, I did this and this and this, and surely you must owe me something. Nothing. Come thirsty. And then just as there was a pleading from God's heart to listen, for the Israelite people to listen, there's also a pleading for us to listen. Listen, listen to me. This is, you can't read the Gospels without coming across invitation after invitation from Jesus. Listen, 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 listen to me. Whoever's got ears to hear, what did he say? Let them hear. Listen. Actually take time to listen to his voice. That's just one verse I picked out this morning. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe God, in God who sent me, have eternal life. They'll never be condemned for their sins, but they've already passed from death to life. I wonder who we're listening to today. There are so many voices at you, aren't there? At me. What are we going to feast? What are we going to listen to? What are we going to be reminded of as Liz spoke? It's so easy to listen to voices like offense, disappointment, disillusionment, anger, negativity. Do we find ourselves influenced by that? Because if we go to Jesus, if we listen to him, he actually will shift what we hear and how we hear it. We have an invitation to not feast on stuff that doesn't satisfy. How many people are listening to stuff that doesn't strengthen them, that doesn't satisfy them? You and I are invited to listen to Jesus. And when we listen, what do we hear? We hear two things I want to suggest. We hear who God is and who he wants to be for us. That's the first thing we hear. For Israel, they heard about God's unfailing covenant love. He reminded them that he's a faithful covenant promise keeper. He told them he was the Holy One of Israel. Holy just means other than. He's not like others. He doesn't love as you deserve. God loves because he is love. Not because you've earned it or deserved it or I have by somehow being nice or good. God actually loves because that's his nature. That's who he is. He's the Holy One, the one who's other than. I love this. He reminded them that he's Yahweh. He said, I, the Lord, the Holy One. He uses that term for himself. That's the name that God gives himself in the Old Testament, Yahweh. It's like half a name. Do you know what it is? God's name for himself, it's pretty important to know God's name, isn't it? He calls himself I Am. What does that invite you to do? I am what? I am what you want me to be. I am what you need me to be. And throughout the whole of the Old Testament, we get these incredible insights into who God was for the old for his people. Some of them. You know, I am your saviour. I am your healer. I am your provider. I am your peace. I am your righteousness. What do you need God to be for you? What do you need him to be for you right now? And I love it. He said, I am your God. You know, God is God. But the question is he your God? Is he yours? Because that's an invitation to know him for yourself. Not just, oh yeah, he's God for somebody else. He's God for Liz because she's the principal. Or he's God for me because I'm the pastor. Is he your God? Because he actually wants to be those things for you in the person of Jesus. Jesus said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God's like? He's like Jesus, incredibly like Jesus. And I actually want to give each of you a moment. We've just been invited to listen to him. Okay, well, what if we did that? What if we actually took a moment and listened? So I am going to invite you to take a moment, close your eyes, open your spiritual ears, and ask God this question. God, who do you want to be for me at this time? Can I invite you to do that? Just take a moment. God, who do you want to be for me at this time? Well, we like having interactive messages so you don't go to sleep. So I'm going to invite you to call out. You know, some of you will have heard, might be the first thing that even came into your mind. Who does God want to be for you? And it will be different for different people. Can I invite you to be brave? Call it out. He wants to be your lifesaver. Wow. He wants to be your peace. He wants to be your helper and your refuge. Your comforter. Your love. Your counselor. Your hope. Your BFF. Your big friendly father. Your confidence. Wow. He wants to be your teacher. Cool. Your leader. Thanks, Michael. You see, God wants to be someone for each of us. He actually wants us to listen. So this is not some theory, but who do you need him to be? Maybe you need him to be the courage to do something that was hard, or maybe you need him to be the one who helps you forgive some offense or some disappointment. Who do you need him to be? He actually wants to be those things for each of us, because his name is Yahweh. I am. I am. So we find, first of all, who we discover as we're listening who God is and who he wants to be for us. And the last thing that we, well, it's not the last thing, but it's the last thing we can think about today is like the Israelites, if we take time to listen, we won't just find out who God wants to be for us, but we will also find out who we are and the incredibly glorious calling and purpose that he has for everyone who's willing to say yes to him. God reminds the exiles that even though they're in a foreign country, that they're still his covenant people, that he hasn't stopped loving them, and that his purposes for them still stand. In the difficulties and disappointments and frustrations and challenges we all face, we will hear many voices. We will hear the voice that says, you're not enough, you should be more, you can't trust God, you can't, you can't do this thing that you've been called to do, you should be afraid. We'll have many, many voices telling us who we are. So we really, really need to be reminded about who God says we are. Those who have said yes to Jesus have been invited into the family of God, and our primary identity is now, I am the beloved. It's so freeing when you just know that who you are is loved. I could have taken a million verses. I just pulled this one out. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Let it sink in. Because if our identity is what we have to do, we'll never be secure, because what we do goes up and down, and we'll have messy times. We'll have times we've failed. We'll have times when we're disappointed in ourselves. Anybody ever been disappointed in themselves? Yeah. If our identity is, it will be up and down like that. If our identity is, I am the beloved of God. Full stop, end of story. Out of that identity, we actually come into a place of deep, deep security, deep trust, deep freedom. I love that. And so God reminds these exiles, as he reminds us now, that as we trust him with our circumstances, our fears, our failures, our frailties, and our successes, that he wants to do something amazing with our lives. We become partners in the family business. We actually get invited into a life that's significant. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a life that doesn't make any difference. I don't want to live a life that's got no purpose, that's just like blah, 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 blah. Who wants to live like that? You and I have been invited to partner in the family business. That is a glorious calling. And I don't care if you are 4 or 104. You can pick up and run with the fact that because you are his child, you get to partner in this amazing family business, which is to let people know of the goodness of your Heavenly Father. If you've experienced it, you get to share it. Man, our lives are invited to make a difference. We're invited to become displayers of how amazing God is. I'm not sure what God was thinking when he invited you and me to display his glory. What was he thinking? I mean, the church, let's face it, it's got some pretty uncomfortable flaws, hasn't it? The person beside you has got some pretty uncomfortable flaws. What was God thinking when he said, I'm going to display my glory through you? But that's what he said. And you and I are incredibly privileged to be invited into that opportunity. I feel like this morning the invitation is for each of us to have a renewed sense of calling. I feel like God is restoring the invitation to be glorious this morning. And one of the privileges we get at Overflow is that we get to pray for anybody who wants that, which we will do in just a moment. But I felt like this morning there is a restoration of calling. You know, when stuff is hard and it's horrible and you just think, can I keep doing this? Boy, we need to know our calling. Whether that's parenting, whether it's being a genuine friend, whether it's life circumstances, whether it's finances, sometimes it's just really, really hard to do what God's called us to do. And I feel like today there's just a fresh Holy Spirit grace to stand and to know who God is, who you are, and the incredibly glorious calling that he's called you to have. He's called us to be light. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How can they glorify God who they can't see? Because they see you being glorious. They see you carrying through difficulties with hope and love and peace and joy. Not that you're perfect, not that I'm perfect, not that we've arrived, but that we have set our course and that we know that we know that we know that God is faithful, that we are loved, and that he's called us to be someone glorious. He's given us the opportunity to show his life and his love. And man, it's hard sometimes. Some days it's really, really hard. But that's the Holy Spirit's job, to strengthen, comfort, and remind us of our calling when we're thinking, why did I do this again? Yeah, so Liz, when you're thinking, why did I do this job again? The answer is because you're called and because you're glorious and because he gets to show his glory off through you. All right, two things we're going to do. Nigel, you have a prayer of blessing. Our prophet, we have a prophet in our house, Brian. Many of you know Brian. He wasn't able to be here this morning, but he's written a prayer of a declaration of blessing. So I'm just going to invite Nigel to come. Nigel was a previous board chair when the church was overseeing the school, and he's going to read Brian's declaration for us. And I'm going to invite any members of the school community who would like to receive this blessing to just stand as we read this declaration over you. For those of you who know Brian, this is a trustworthy blessing.
Brian's titled this A New Beginning. We decree that Madawi Christian School is dedicated to the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus as the rightful head. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the staff that you have ordained to represent you at Madawi Christian School. We thank you, Lord, for the students and families that are part of the MCS community. We pray blessings and favour over the MCS community, and we ask that encouragement and respect for one another be at the forefront of daily encounters with one another. Lord Jesus, we ask for your grace to empower your school community to love one another and to always see the best in one another. Lord Jesus, we ask that you supernaturally strengthen the staff in times of trials and weariness. Jesus, we cannot be everything to everybody. I remove any unhealthy words spoken over the staff, and I decree that those words have no power now or in the future. Ephesians 4, verse 2, invites each of us to live with tender humility and quiet patience. Always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. It is so important that we hear your voice, Lord Jesus, amongst the daily noise. We come into agreement with you and declare that your sheep do hear your voice. Lord Jesus, you are a good God. You have only good for your kingdom family. Holy Spirit, we release you in the name of Jesus to empower us to put our heart and soul into every activity we do, as though we are doing it for the Lord himself. Father God, it is your desire that no one is separated from you. We declare that Madawi Christian School is a place of salvation and that it is known in the community because we are passionate and wholehearted, always sincere and always speaking the truth, for our hearts are trustworthy. We ask and declare this in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Could I just carry on? Thank you very much. You can sit down. I just want to carry on from that theme of Chris's about perseverance and knowing your calling. And I just take the moment to honour all the previous board members who have done so much for the school. There were some really, really hard times that the board had to go through. And I just want to make sure that from past chairman, to past members, to everyone who's served on that board, our deepest thanks and blessings for the future. Likewise, to at the early days in the school history when the church members were helping out down there, I just pass honour back through that as well to get the school to where it is today. And in that spirit of honour and blessing, I just pour that out over those who are involved now. And I pray God's great favour and great blessing upon them. Thank you.